Jim Whedon's our next speaker.
Kind of cool to see all the different relationships between the different presentations in this session. So I want to talk a little bit about studying geographic variations in chiropractic under Medicare, a little bit of overview, and some selected findings. And have no relationships to disclose. And Medicare does pay for chiropractic services, and here's proof. Check that I received for 33 cents. But wait, there's always the Medigap. 1 cent. So I went into research and studying geographic variations. And thinking about variations, it's good to think about the unit of analysis that you want to use, and there's no one right answer. The right answer is dependent upon the variable of interest in most cases. So there are different choices from top to bottom, PCSAs, primary care service areas. I'll go through these. HSA, we just saw a study based on hospital service areas a few minutes ago. Counties, hospital referral regions, states, and for Medicare specifically, Medicare administrative carrier jurisdictions. So primary care service areas, there are a lot of them, there are over 6,000. They're based on how patients actually use primary care, the actual utilization patterns. To the extent that chiropractic looks, you know, or acts like primary care, this might be a good choice. Counties, the county lines were developed, you know, based on kind of municipal boundaries, not based upon how health care is used. So it may not make sense. It may, for some applications in health care, certain public health services are delivered by county. The Medicare chiropractic services demonstration was conducted a few years ago that used the counties as the unit of geographic analysis. HSAs, we just saw a study using HSAs. Again, this is kind of like counties. There are over 3,000 of them. These are based on actual utilization patterns of how patients use hospitals. A little larger unit of analysis is the hospital referral region. You see there is about a tenth as many as the hospital service areas. And I found that this is, you know, kind of a good compromise for some chiropractic research. It's not too big, not too small. It's based on how patients actually use health care. And maybe one of the better choices that we have now. We don't have chiropractic service areas. That would developing actual chiropractic service areas based on how patients use chiropractic would be a pretty involved study, and it might be worth doing. I'm going to skip these two slides and just go right to some actual study findings. This is a study based on state as the unit of analysis. It's geographic variation in proportion of black Medicare beneficiaries who used chiropractic. Using this data as a geographic unit would make sense for certain questions because chiropractic is regulated by the states. It also makes sense when for a study like this, where we have very low use of chiropractic by minorities. So even with this pretty, you know, relatively huge geographic unit of the states, we can see in the northern tier there are, you know, a proportion of blacks using chiropractic approaches zero in a number of states. The state with the highest use was Iowa at 6%. Here's a bit of disclosure on this slide. This is excerpted from a paper that is in press with JMPT. And this is an example of a study using the Medicare Administrative Carrier Jurisdiction as the unit. And the MACJs have a certain amount of autonomy in determining reimbursement rates and how they process claims. And so this is a good unit if you're looking at expenditures under Medicare. And we can see that the region in the middle of the country, region number 5, the mean payments per chiropractor are almost twice as much as in region 1 out on the West Coast. Pretty significant variation there. This is a table 1 excerpted from a study on regional variation in chiropractic supply and utilization by HRR, by hospital referral region. And again, we saw a study a few minutes ago using the CV. If you look at the last column on the right, the coefficient of variation, which is a measure of variation. It's the standard deviation over the mean in a set of measurements, and it allows us to compare apples and oranges, but not exactly. We're actually comparing variation in apples with variation in oranges because it's a unitless measure. So we can look at these various variables of interest and see what the variation is and kind of compare the variation. There's no hard and fast standard, but a value for a CV of 0.17 starts to get to indicate a significant amount of variation. If you got up to 0.30 or higher, that would be, you know, really a lot of variation. And you can see we have a lot of variation for just about everything here, except for the bottom row, chiropractic utilization intensity, which indicates how many services per chiropractic user, the mean number of office visits, chiropractic office visits per year among users. And we can see there's really pretty low variation there. So all across the country, there's not a lot of variation. It ranges between 6.7 to 16.8 visits per chiropractic user across the country, looking at it by region. So here's a map of variation by hospital referral region in supply of chiropractors under Medicare. Quite a bit of variation here. You can see the northern prairie states, lots of supply. In the south, supply is lower. And here's a map that looks a lot like that map. This is the map not of supply, but of utilization. Very similar pattern. High utilization in the northern prairie states, up there in the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa. Low utilization across the south. Yeah, skip this slide and go right to looking at the correlation between the two. You just saw the two maps that look pretty similar, and indeed there is a high degree of correlation between supply and utilization. Spearman's row 0.68, that's a strong positive correlation, it's statistically significant. I took Davenport, Iowa out, it really didn't change, okay, because it's up in the right-hand corner. So, you know, the degree of correlation is essentially the same whether you leave in Davenport or not. Of course, Davenport, Iowa is the home of Palmer College. So, why we care about variation? Well, studies of medical care, studies of, you know, regional variation in medical care have led to the identification of three kinds of care. And one would be, the first is effective care. And this is care that everyone should get. So if a patient who's otherwise healthy and ambulatory sustains a severe comminuted tibial fracture, that fracture needs to be fixed. Everyone should get that care. So there shouldn't be variation in effective care. Supply-sensitive care is less desirable. Supply-sensitive care tends to be delivered not based on patient need and or preference. If we're going to deliver a healthcare service, it should be because the patient either wants it and or needs it. But supply-sensitive care is delivered based upon the supply of providers in a given region or the provider's inclination to deliver the care. It's often based on the provider's self-interest, unfortunately. And I'm not talking about chiropractic specifically here. This is a finding, you know, throughout medicine. Supply-sensitive care is very, very common in medicine. Preference-sensitive care is better. And a good example of preference-sensitive care would be nonspecific low back pain. There's no gold standard. There are a number of different things we can do for nonspecific low back pain that a patient can legitimately choose. Particularly if a patient's well-informed, care for nonspecific low back pain ought to be preference-sensitive. It ought to be sensitive to what the patient wants and prefers. And so preference-sensitive care is good for conditions that warrant that. So I was interested in looking at the potential supply sensitivity of chiropractic and two ways of measuring that. It's measures that could be potentially sensitive to supply would be use. That is, what proportion of Medicare beneficiaries use chiropractic. And secondly, utilization intensity, that is, among users, how much do they use the care? And ran a regression analysis on chiropractic care under Medicare by hospital referral region and found that chiropractic supply was strongly predictive of the number of chiropractic users under Medicare, independent of rates of allowable back and neck pain diagnoses in the Medicare beneficiary population with a ridiculously high odds ratio of 65-1. But that doesn't mean it's supply sensitive, because I wasn't able to include variables on patient preference in the model. It's not available through Medicare data. It would require, I think, a much more complex methods, probably using survey data. But we can hypothesize that chiropractic under Medicare is supply sensitive and test that. And as far as utilization intensity, chiropractic supply did not predict utilization intensity. If you remember back a few slides, a utilization intensity that was very low variation. So that makes sense. So just to finish up, I want to thank my funders and my mentors, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll entertain the first question.
Dr. Meeker?
Jim, yeah. Your that last slide really is striking. I mean, the ridiculously high operation for a supply relationship, but the ridiculously low relationship for intensity. But wouldn't you think it seems to me that supply, oversupply maybe, was driving that first thing. You also have the intensity ratio would be high as well.
You would think, and I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and you could kind of argue either way, what would you predict? But chiropractors are not necessarily in a good position to influence the rate of use, right? You'd think that they wouldn't be in a position to influence the rate of use, right, among the population. Right, because they don't have, you know, kind of direct influence, but you would expect that they would be able to influence how much,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm sure.
You talked about the difference between black and white.
Yeah.
And you probably mentioned this, but I missed it somewhere. Did the populations have the same amount of access, the same distance to travel, the same availability of providers?
We don't have that information about So actually, what the CAM survey demonstrated include a very broad spectrum of CAM therapies. Like some of those, for example, the chiropractic services and the massage need to see a practitioner. But most of other, like glucosamine or supplements, which is the most commonly used among the both black and white person, but I don't think they need any access to practitioners. So I mean, for your that's a problem in our study. We didn't mail that information about the access, for example, the distance to the practitioner.
Right.
Yes.
I know in our metropolitan area, I mean, even the African American providers are on the periphery of that community, not in the center, and there's no health food sources, none of that, in the actual depths of the lower income, which is in our case predominantly African American community. So, so they obviously don't have the same amount of accessibility to those CAM.
I think that's maybe an explanation for this far fighting here. Yeah, but we didn't bear that information in our slide. Thank you very much for that.
Matt?
I was just curious, like, when you have a database where you pull together multiple different insurance carriers, how do you sort of account for differences in the structure of the plan from the past that? Because, you know, the chiropractor, people have access to me, but it varies depending on whether I have to, you know, get a referral and those kinds of things. How do you sort of work that out? I mean, when you use one data source like Medicare, it's kind of, you know, the same across. But I'm curious, like, what your thoughts are in terms of having to adjust or account for variation and access based on plan.
Yeah, I understand the issue.
Yeah.
Bluntly, we didn't. And we don't have information on benefits. We have, in the data, you have copays and deductibles coming in on the claims, but there's no database that says what the benefits are. So we don't know for each of those people involved, but we can track their use. We don't know what their actual benefit structure is. And just as by way of example, in the main database, we're taking in data from 100 different insurance companies. So it is complex. And I believe I mentioned the main data issue could be, we didn't evaluate that, but clearly there could be difference in the mandates across those three states or across the countries. And just on one, as long as I got the floor here, I just want to mention one thing since you didn't mention it. We don't know what the right rate is. So we don't know. Newport was low, that could be the wrong rate. Augusta was very high, that could be the wrong rate. We just don't know what the right rate is. So there's no implication in this someplace. High rate being right or wrong, nobody knows what the right rate of use is.
John?
Just for my clarification, I don't really know, you're looking at rates. Why are you adjusting for age and gender? What's the purpose of that?
Well, there's variation in these populations in terms of, I just happen to know, for example, Caribou, Maine has a much older population than Portland, Maine, even within the commercial population. So ours is based on commercial population, so we want to take out that factor because there could be differences in utilization by age and gender.
And when you did the say I got, was chiropractic couched in only musculoskeletal terms, or was there any idea that chiropractic could maybe do something other than musculoskeletal?
It was mainly musculoskeletal, but it ended up being a huge kind of fake because I had a lot of difficulty trying to explain, because with, you know, like scope laws being so varied or even personal preference being so varied, I found myself struggling to say, like, this is what it could be, because then I was like, as soon as you say that, someone's going to come and be like, that's not what it is. And so it was much more difficult than I expected going into it. And as you started having these conversations, I tried to just kind of leave it more how the therapy was done, more manual or different things, rather than, you know, what exact conditions it could be used for.
It's not going to get any better. Since
another question?
Can I just make a comment?
Certainly.
To that is to
currently five chiropractors practicing in Ghana, and the scope is very broad. I think three are purely musculoskeletal, and then two on the other end do a lot of the other.
I had a quick question.
Okay.
Regarding, did you take into account the or adjust for the population? Like, for example, I noticed that Oregon and Montana had very low rates, and I just know that the populations there, the African American community, you know, population is less than 1% in those states. So, are they just low rates because there's low amounts of people, or did you adjust for that some way?
So, actually, you asked me this question. We oversampled black persons in our study. So, it is not a population representative sample because we want to estimate the effectiveness of those supplements or the other type of complementary and alternative medicine among black persons, so we oversampled them. And we did found a very dramatic difference in respect to age or gender or the marital status. Then we adjust those measured variables in our final model. So I don't know whether I understand your question or not.
So, well, you showed a map like of the United States, right?
Maybe you're thinking of mine, because this was one of the relationships between the presentations, so I might be able to answer your question, at least for the Medicare population over 65, because we didn't, restricted the Medicare analysis to older adults, which is most of Medicare, and looked at among blacks, right, what was the proportion of blacks that used chiropractic under Medicare. And in Montana, that came very close to zero. If your unit of analysis under Medicare rules for using Medicare data, if it contains 11 observations or less, that's information that's suppressed. So 11 or less or fewer blacks under Medicare used chiropractic services in Montana in 2008.
Right. Yeah. And my question is, if it's just because the population is so low that influences these numbers. Just as an aside, Mitch Haas is not here, but when I work with Mitch on his trial in Oregon, we're supposed to recruit to randomized trials in proportion to the racial and ethnic diversity of the area. Well, Oregon's less than 1% African American, and Mitch was having a really hard time, and Hispanic too is less than 1% Hispanic. I mean, Oregon's like 98% white, and his trial's reflecting that, and we're getting these calls from NCAM saying, how come you're not recruiting more minorities to your study? Well, it just, we ran ads in the Spanish newspaper, and there's, I guess the 15 people, Hispanics that live in Portland probably read it, but it's a real challenge in research. It really is to get that diversity into your trials. We have some other questions. Yes, go ahead.
I just have another question.
You're next, Paul.
You mentioned very quickly that you have identified some of the determinants of utility. Are there ways, based on what the data that you look at, other ways to do that?
I beg your pardon?
Determinants of utility of account services?
Yeah.
Using the data that you had accessed, are there ways to do that from your data?
From your
data source?
You mean to assess the effectiveness or to assess the utilization?
So what determines who uses care?
Oh, so are you asking the how we collect those determinants?
I would say was that information available to you and you didn't collect it as part of this study, or is it not available?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I still didn't get one
of the questions. Well, it might help. How did you actually pick your sample? That might be helpful.
Oh, the sample is the process of enrollment is first through kind of advertisement in the community, and those who are interested will come to the five medical centers in our study. So I think from Brown University is one, and the other one is from Maryland University and Johns Hopkins University. I'm sorry, I cannot remember the other two medical centers. Then so these five hospitals enroll participants. They are not actually patients from the hospital, but they are just a population-based study. So they came to the study center. Then we have a criteria to include. So they need to have knee symptoms at least. Then they need to have several risk factors for developing the knee osteoarthritis. Then all the study participants were categorized into three groups. The first one is the systematic osteoarthritis patients. So they have radiographic evidence of a knee osteoarthritis and have knee symptoms. So I think it's the most day of a month in the past year. So that is the definition for defining established knee osteoarthritis. Then the second group is called instance group. That means they don't have established, they didn't satisfy the criteria I just mentioned, but they have several risk factors for developing the knee osteoarthritis. So the third group is just a reference group. They don't have symptoms and they don't have disease. So for my analysis, I just to use those who have radiographic evidence of knee osteoarthritis and have symptoms in my analysis, and try to see the utilization of CAM among these people. Did I answer your question?
So your question was what? Well, you want to know the percentage of the people that came into the trial that used any kind of CAM?
No, I think we got that. I'm trying to get to what are some key determinants of those who are using CAM.
Oh, I think I just based on literature review, I think. Yeah, so some you know, for example, the social economic characters that can predict CAM use, or you know, depression or obesity level. Yeah.
But were you looking for more qualitative questions, like what is it about their belief systems or something like this? Did you interview them and ask them?
Oh, the effectiveness, or the perceived effectiveness of the CAM? Are you asking that?
Yeah, it sounds like it's a more focus group type of question, and I can certainly ask you that later. But okay. It was just more qualitatively speaking. What was influencing the utility of CAM?
I didn't get the question.
Yeah, so again, you didn't do like focus groups, or you interviewed people. Why are you taking glucosamine sulfate instead of your medication?
No, it's not a group interview, but it's a questionnaire. It's a questionnaire for the. Actually, I mentioned it's a longitudinal study. They collect the information of their treatment, which include both CAM and commercial medications, and also the knee replacement surgery, so annually. So what we use here is just the baseline of their use of treatment. But what we are now trying to do is to see the effectiveness of this treatment in both to relieve their symptoms and also try to whether this treatment can prevent the progression of knee osteoarthritis.
Paul, you had a question?
I read your article, and I admit that the statistician and that. So you got to boil this down for me, so you got to make it simple. The variation, the more chiropractors didn't necessarily predict more visits per patient, but did
It did not predict visits per patient.
But it did predict more visits overall.
It predicted use as a dichotomous variable. Did a Medicare beneficiary use chiropractic at all or not in a year?
A higher proportion of Medicare beneficiaries.
No. Yes or no? If you're a Medicare right. beneficiary, were you a user or not in 2008?
And the more chiropractors, the more people that were who used them. But it didn't predict who brought people back more often. Am I correct?
It did not. So among users, now, so we have users and non-users, among users, now we're doing multiple regression, not a logistic regression, to determine the relationship between supply and number of visits per user. And supply did not predict number of users.
Number of visits, but it did predict more people going to a chiropractor. Is that correct? A higher percentage of the overall population. If there's lots of chiropractors, then more people go to the chiropractor.
Yeah, and of course, you know, maybe chiropractors are locating where more people use chiropractic services.
Well,
we don't know if it's really supply that's predicting. It could be a very strong relationship going the other way.
When I'm in orthopedic spine meetings, their argument is, because they, of course, has reported that the more spine surgeons you have in a community, the more surgeries you get. The more cardiologists you have in a community, the more cabbages are done. So are you saying that trend is true for chiropractic? The more we have, the more procedures are done. Not the frequency, but the percentage of the population who use that service.
Yeah, so let's be sure we distinguish between the two. Right? So the more chiropractors, the more chiropractic users. Okay, but more chiropractors do not predict that users use more services.
But the caveat under Medicare is you're in a system that limits the number of visits. So isn't that a confounder?
There are no hard caps in Medicare. There's a tendency among chiropractors to believe that there are hard caps and perhaps self-limit the amount of care provided. There are soft caps that can trigger utilization reviews. That may inhibit the amount of services provided.
Yeah, and there's also a prohibition on so-called maintenance care.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue if we can define maintenance care in a quantitative way.
But I think it shows it down to the low end.
Sure. I think it does. Fear of audit is a powerful motivator.
But I think that we can't ignore that Medicare may be a confounder as a system, because at 12 visits, you're right, that's not a hard cap. But at 12 visits, somebody starts breathing down your neck saying, do you really need to keep doing this? And so I think we at least have to acknowledge that that may be one of the confounders that gave you that data.
Good point, Vic. Very well taken. I mean, the very low variability that we see in utilization intensity could have a lot to do with concern about Medicare's soft caps.
So you looked at the number of users. Did you consider the population size of where those users are?
Yeah, it was the proportion of Medicare beneficiaries. The proportion of Medicare beneficiaries who were users. So it was not a population based study. The population was restricted to Medicare beneficiaries. Okay, so it's not proportion of total population, it's a proportion of Medicare beneficiaries, people who are eligible to get chiropractic services under Medicare. So it was the proportion of that restricted population who used chiropractic. Those were the users.
I'm just relating to stuff that we've done where for example, in our urban, major urban centers, although there are more chiropractors, and they probably, in relationship to the population, utilization is actually much lower than in rural areas where there are fewer chiropractors. And I'm just trying to get a sense of what you're saying here, even though there's a high number of chiropractors in the area and there's not enough high users. What proportion of the population is actually using?
The proportion of population that uses chiropractic under Medicare averages 7%, and it varies considerably by region, up to 25% in Iowa City, and I think right here in Washington, D.C., may be actually the lowest rate of use, if I remember correctly, way down.
So do you find the same thing, though?
did you find that the more chiropractors there are, the more service on the users?
Well, we have time for one last question, and then we need to move to our next session.
Just a quick question for your data included, yes, your data included both Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance, correct?
No, just commercial.
Just commercial.
We didn't have access, as I indicated, not all states had, in fact, very few states have merged in Medicaid and Medicare data in these states, so just commercial.
All right, so before I forget, I want to thank all of our speakers one more time. Give them a hand.